welcome to the channel. Welcome to Boulder. Welcome to University Hill. We're right across the street from University of Colorado, CU. And gets pretty busy here. Right here is all the services for the campus. It's kind of a city within a city. I'm at several different locations along Broadway. So this is Pennsylvania and Broadway. Broadway's Highway 93 that goes all the way down to Golden. And this is kind of where I am. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can come out to the street, we can take our Bible study, we can take our truth study, we can take what we learn in church, and we can take it to the people. We don't have to leave it in our heart. We can actually share it with people. We can actually be a witness for your kingdom. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing out here on the street. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. I want to start off with Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4 here. It says here, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Think about that. Let me read it one more time. The soul of the sluggard, the lazy person, who doesn't want to go to work and just wants to have everything given to him, the sluggard, that's King James, desireth. Everyone has desires. Doesn't matter where you are in life, everyone has a desire. And but if you don't go to work, you can't bring that desire back. So a sluggard, a lazy person, has great desires and just expects things to happen to them, but they don't. It says right there, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. So just the desire alone and no work implied doesn't really bring the desire about. And so that desire oftentimes comes from God. Oftentimes comes from God, even the sluggard. Desire for the sluggard to get off the couch and to go do something, get a job, apply for work. You know, there's day camps, there's day jobs, day laborers in town. You don't have to beg on the street. You can actually go to work, get a job, go to school, go to trade school, go to some kind of a school that, you know, I don't know, go to truck driving school. I don't know. You know, they often give scholarships to truck drivers because it's a needed industry. It's a lot of people are struggling in that industry right there. But anyway, so, you know, go do that. All right. So right here it says in Proverbs 13, chapter 4, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul, see, there's two souls here. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So you see the parallel there. Both are souls. So there's two types of people there. One is a sluggard. One's diligent. So diligent is the opposite of being sluggish, you know, or lazy or weak or and doesn't have a desire. I mean, not a desire, but has a motivation of some sort. I don't know what you want to call it. But then the diligent who applies themselves, that person is going to attain. You know, when you go to college here, you have to apply yourself. You can't be a sluggard and think you're going to graduate. You've got to be diligent. Diligent. You got to apply yourself. And sometimes the application of applying yourself is harder than it looks. It might be easy to do or say, but it's very difficult. I didn't want to come out to preach today. I was cold and I just wasn't feeling good. I'm in my long-term fast year. I was just tired, weak. And but I just said, no, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to preach. I'm going to do whatever I can do. And I just waited till the last second pretty much and just hurriedly got ready. And I was able to get out the door and get on the bus that I wanted to get on, the 10:30 bus, to get up here at 10:45. And I'll walk home from here. It's about a mile and a quarter, mile and a half walk. I'll walk home from here. So you can see the diligent shall be made fat. And fat is not just, we're not talking about fat in your body. We're talking about fat in your lifestyle. That means you have extra, because fat means you have energy. The body burns fat for energy. And the fatness in a person's life is all the resources they have in their life. When you graduate college, you have a degree. I tried to get a degree, but I'm not fat in a degree. I don't have any degrees. I have a high school degree, but I don't have a college degree. Even though I diligently applied myself, I didn't have the extra needed to be more diligent. You know, Jesus said, give you life and life more abundantly. It's kind of like give you life, a desire, and a desire more abundantly. Well, I didn't have the more in the diligent department. I just didn't have the brain power. And maybe I could have worked on through it, but I couldn't. I tried it five times. Hired tutors and everything, I just couldn't make it. And that's why I became a truck driver at age 23. And bought my own rig and went trucking. And stayed out there for 40 years in the driving So this verse right here, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The sluggard, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Hope you get that down. I did the scripture short on that. It's really interesting how that unfolds in people's lives. And oftentimes parents teach children how to be lazy because they're lazy. Other parents or who are diligent, they teach their children by example how to be diligent. Same way with the sluggard type of family. You know, they're not teaching them by their words, they're teaching them by their actions. And so when you teach people, oftentimes we become an example. That's what I'm doing today. I'm being an example here on the YouTube channel. I'm being an example. And you can take it or leave it or criticize me or put me down or say, hey, I want to do the same thing. But I work 6 days a week, actually about 6.5 days a week. I take off a couple hours on Friday night. I take off about 4 hours on Saturday morning. That's it. The rest of the time I'm working. I'm just from 5 a.m. till about 8, 9 o'clock at night every day. And that's life. But that's my choice. I'm not a sluggard in serving Christ. Now, I'm not performance oriented either. I'm doing it by the grace of God. When I'm tired, I don't push forward. I rest. And I was thinking about resting today, but I knew that tomorrow for sure, and Friday, I don't know yet. But tomorrow for sure, I'm going to be taking off because I already feel so, dragging because of the fast that I'm on. I mean, I don't know what day we're in. We're in day 40-something of the 75-day fast. And it weighs on you after a while. I mean, the fasting just, it's hard. I can't say it any other way. It's hard. It's not easy. You know, a gentleman yesterday I was talking to and asked him how to fast. He said, I can't imagine going a day without food. I can't even imagine me going a day without food. Because food is his God. Food is everything he needs. He needs food to operate in his life. But that's a lie. That's his God. That's his idol. You know, oh well, you know. And so you have to really be diligent in Christ. You can't even be a sluggard in Christ and think everything's going to work out all right for you. You're going to struggle. But if you're diligent in Christ, things are going to work out. They just will. That's been my life. I've been fortunate that I'm not much of a lazy person. I do get lazy, and I am sort of lazy. But even though in that laziness, I'm always busy. I'm a busy person. I stay active. I don't lay around and do nothing. I can't even sit still for 10 minutes. You know, in fact, anytime I'm watching something, doing research, I've got notepads and paper and pen, and I'm jotting notes. I'm doing 3 or 4 things all at once all the time. I mean, I'm checking the news. I'm checking other channels. I'm just doing things all the time, you know, and because I'm diligent, I'm faithful, and things like that, all right? And so, but understand, I take time off. I mean, I'm not a workaholic. That, I know I'm not. That is not what you want to be in the ministry. You just want to be diligent. And that diligence is not being a workaholic. That's another story. All right, so in our Sunday prayer letter for this week, I haven't preached on it this week. I hope you've been reading it. It's in this True Study book also. This title is called Coals of Fire. I'm reading from this little diagram right here that you can see this picture on our website, but it's also on our Sunday prayer letter. It'll also be in our church. We draw this out on a board, and we work from here. We actually draw this whole section out on the whiteboard that we got here a few weeks ago, which has been pretty nice. All right, and the idea is this. We go from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we do the same thing going together. Sorry, I'm a little nervous here because I got a lot of students and I'm nervous around a lot of people. Sorry, I just am, until I get comfortable. But usually around young people, around normal adults, I'm not nervous, but around young people, I'm nervous because I don't want to violate any laws. That's what makes me nervous. So that's why I'm a little edgy, a little nervous. All right, so Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday are in the center there. This represents the soldier of Christ. This represents the fire of God coming and keeping the soldier of Christ pure. And that's what this is right here, and provides light. It's a pretty powerful diagram. It's how I'm logistically keeping track of all the 506 verses in the Bible for this entire year. We're preaching on every verse that has a word of fire in it. And the whole season of 2024 is fire. That's what it's called. My banner is called Fire, and it's all red and yellow. And it's really, plus it's really busy and noisy out here. And it's very cold. It was supposed to snow tonight. 1 to 3 feet of snow expected. And that's the spring snow here in Boulder. So that's why I probably won't be coming out tomorrow. I just don't feel good. But today is Wednesday. We'll go through Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10. I apologize, man. Calm down here. John's a little nervous today. And then Acts 28, 2, okay? So let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. Oh, why do I keep saying that? Chapter 6, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10. You see, you don't have to be perfect. You just come out, and if you don't feel good, you come out anyways, you know, unless you're really tired. And that, if you're really tired, you don't want to come out to preach and minister, because you could hurt yourself, you know. That's my challenge, you know, because of certain physical limitations that I have. Okay, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10. And here it is right here. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them besides the altar. Okay? The word fire is right there in the middle, or halfway down through there. Take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed. So ashes that the fire hath consumed. The idea of preaching out of Leviticus is not just because there's a word fire in the word or on the verse here, but in today's, or after the crucifixion of Christ, we're no longer in the law, we're in grace, but we can use the law to look, or the scriptures, to identify more of the character of God. And that's what we're doing here. We're seeing the exactness of God.
Jesus isn't real.
The exactness of God. See, that's all funny to them. They like that. Is that okay? I don't care. They can just, Jesus, they don't want Jesus. I don't want, Jesus doesn't want them, as far as I'm concerned. They don't want heaven. Heaven doesn't want them. I mean, no big deal to me. I could care less. But everybody knows what I'm doing. You can't get wrapped up in people's personal salvation. You just preach the gospel with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. You give your whole message that God has placed on your heart, and you deliver it at the highest level of diligence that you are. You give your best, and let God do His rest. Let God do the rest. You do your best, let God do the rest. I kind of like that. I kind of rhymes. I never said that before. Yeah. And so, anyways. Were those guys telling the truth? No, obviously not. But they made a mistake, because those who mock me, who say anything to me at all, they are a part of my supplication. Of course, everyone is, but those who actually say something go in a different category of my supplication. So now that guy made a mistake. Really, if he wants to stay in Satan rather than in Christ, he just made a mistake, because I'm going to begin interceding for that man's soul. That boy, little boy, little boy. He thinks he's a big man. He's a little boy. Little boy. Young adult. Who thinks they know everything. And us old guys don't know a thing. We're stupid. We're ignorant. We're discardable. We haven't got any wisdom, knowledge, understanding. We don't know a thing. That's what I've been told. Especially by high school students. They have utter disrespect for the elderly. Oh well. All right. And then we go over to Luke, a corresponding scripture. And these are corresponding in the way the logistics of moving in towards. I mean, they're going on exact verse by verse by verse towards the center. I'm not skipping around. I'm going from the very first time fire was mentioned on both ends of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we're going in exact increments in the Word of God toward the center, wherever the center is. The Holy Spirit's doing that, look at the center. So wherever the center is. So this is the exact opposite from Leviticus 6:10. This is Acts 28:2. So let's go over there and see what it says. Well, I don't know what it says. Do you know what it says? Are you already there? I'm getting there. I'm almost there. We're trucking right along here. 28 verse 2. I got my gloves on. I'm outside and it's noisy. And my ears are cold. I got my hat and stuff in my pack right there. 28 verse 2. I am so happy to be out here. I tell you, there'd be nothing like being out here. So I met a guy that works in a church here in town on the campus there. And he visited with me for a few minutes through a couple lights, sequences of lights. And he says he's going off to a Bible study right now. But it's surprising how, anyways, but God bless him. We both laughed at how it's easy to go to a Bible study and then we are supposed to apply what we learned in the Bible study out in where the people are. And I, hang on. Their ambulance, everyday ambulances. We chuckle. I said, it's easy, because I saw the look on his face when I said, you go in the Bible study, you learn it, then you take it to the people. I saw the complexion of the physical change in his face. Like, he said, well, yeah, I don't really do that. That's kind of what it looked like. And he said, yeah, it's kind of easier said than done. And then he started chuckling and kind of lifted that burden off him. Because it is easier to say, go out and tell people, than it is to go do it. And that's why if you follow our channel, you subscribe, you like, you comment, all those things that keep our channel growing. Because the more our channel grows, the more you interact with the video, the more YouTube pushes it out to new people. The less you interact with the video, the less YouTube pushes it out. Like for example, in the last, 3 months or so, we've gone from about 80,000 thumbnails going out to about 55 or 60,000. So we've got a 20, 25,000 less of thumbnails going out into the world, thumbnails, so they can click on it. You know, that's the book cover to the sermon. Because of the less of the interaction, because normally I get around 60 to 80 views per video, but in the last few months it's only about 25 or 30, plus a lot less likes and a lot less comments, you know? And so that tells YouTube that what I'm doing here is not really of great interest. And so they back off in promoting the channel. You know, I don't promote the channel, YouTube promotes the channel. That's why I like YouTube, I'm enjoying it. And you can look in the back office. So this morning I looked and it was at right at 56,000 thumbnails going out. But we had hit over up 80, 85,000 for a long time. And the channel was growing pretty fast, but then they saw what I was about, I guess. I don't know what the story is. They got bored or whatever. I don't know what happens in YouTube. But so that's why I'm saying interact with the video. So interacting with the video is easy to say, but more difficult to do. Because to do that, you have to sign into your Google account. You have to do that. And that's, you know, life as it goes. And same way with God. You have to sign into God. You have to sign up for the work. You have to sign up and get too busy. So it's easy to say, yeah, I'm going to go preach the gospel. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do all kinds of things. But you have to sign up. You have to click the like button with God. You have to comment with God. You have to share God with people. Same way with YouTube. I mean, that's life. That's life. And if you share God, good things are going to happen. You share the channel, good things are going to happen because God's going to use the channel more. I mean, is God going to use the channel anyways? Yeah. I get comments just about every day. I think every day. And anyways, if you don't see a street sermon, it's because I was physically unable to come out. You'll see the class. So if you don't see the sermon, come to the class. Because I can't believe that people only watch the sermon and not the class. I mean, why? Is it they just like me seeing me outside? I don't understand the thinking. And nobody can seem to tell me either. I've been saying this for quite a long time and no one can seem to give me an answer. I'll have to ask more people, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know why people don't come to the class. It must be boring to them and they don't want to come. I don't know. I mean, it's not boring to me. I love it. And I get a lot out of it. All right, so so now that I've talked so much, I forgot what Leviticus 6:10 said. Let's see what it says. And we'll go back over Leviticus 6, verse 10. I got my gloves on, so it's a little harder to manipulate the Bible here. Manipulate. I thought that catch your attention there. All right, 6:10. It says here, there it is. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches. Breeches, that's his boxer shorts, I guess you could say. Reason he did that is because God doesn't want to see the private parts. All right. So let's look at this. And shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering of the altar, and shall put them beside the altar. So that offering is like a testimony that gets beside the altar. That's what we've read before. So your testimony is like an offering that comes beside the testimony. The testimony is Jesus. I get weary of the traffic too. I just can't tell you how wearisome it is. It just weighs on me. The constant. Now I'm one of those guys that like things quiet. I don't have music playing in my house. I don't have anything going. My house is perfectly quiet. I love that. My truck was always quiet, except for the Alexander Scorby reading me the Bible. But it was always kind of quiet. Sometimes that smooth jazz in the background. But it was always quiet, and I always had earplugs in. I like peace and quiet. So being on the street for me is very hard for me, continuously. A lot of people don't know that. See, you can't believe how hard this is. This is not easy. Not easy. But I like it. I like it. I love it. I love my job. So there it is right there. The fire and the offering beside the testimony, beside the altar. All right. And then Acts 28, verse 2 says, and the barbarous people, showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. So these barbarous people prepared a fire. They had lots of kindness to strangers. Now these were barbaric, I guess you'd say, type people. Now, that's kind of a strong word, but that's what the King James calls them. They're like the heathen, you know, kind of thing. But they were very friendly. Everybody's friendly. Because we're made after God's image. I don't care where you are in life. You still have the love in your life. Barbarous person, man, loves his barbarous wife. Why does he love? Why does he beat her up and kill her? Because he loves her. Even a barbarous person, a barbarian person. See, it's we're all made in God's image. We all have love in us. We all like each other. We're all kind. It's the devil that has hate, that has no love. It's the devil that gets into people's lives and destroys. You think God kills people? No, God doesn't kill people. Satan kills people. Yeah. Does God have people killed? Yeah, obviously. All right. So Acts 28, verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that interesting how God highlighted that? You know, people think, oh, the gang members, they're really, you got to be watching. You can't go down the hood, because if you go down the hood, you're going to be attacked. No, you won't. If you are going there by God, I just watched a video by Brother Nolan and this morning, and he had a video of him and when he's 9 years old down there in New Orleans, and Reuben Israel was standing beside him, and he was telling his story. And I didn't have a whole hour to sit there. I only had about 20 minutes to watch the video. So I only watched 20 minutes of it because I had to get ready to come out. But I wanted to sit there the rest of the morning, watch the video, because I was enjoying it. Maybe I'll watch it later tonight, finish it later tonight. But it's an hour long. And it's kind of like my videos, they're an hour long. It's hard to finish them. But, you know, he knew that he was there because God sent him there. Was as a 9-year-old, was he scared that he was going to be killed or hurt or damaged in some way? No. The barbarous people were hating on them and, you know, coming against them. But those type of people, they still have love in them. See? That's what they were preaching to. They were preaching that love they have. And that love can set the people free. You know? And I don't agree with the what Reuben Israel called that. He called it the death march. I think that's kind of a not a very good seed to sow. But you can say march. Let's march through hell. Yeah, more. I would say that more than the march through death. That's the march of death. I don't agree with that, but that's what he called it. That kind of puts a wrong thought. But march through hell to get the souls out of hell. I can get on board with that, man. I mean, I could put an asbestos suit on me, put the armor of God. Let's go to hell and see if we can save those souls. I mean, we can't do that, obviously, because it's not in the Word of God. Jesus did that, but he didn't set anybody free there. And I don't know if there's anybody there at that time. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, I'm not going to go there. Everybody knows what they, everybody thinks they know everything. The reason people think they know everything is because God didn't tell them, so they make it up. And they say, oh, God told me. You get that? It's not in God's word. And they want to know what the answer is, so they make up the answer. And they say, and then they think about it enough, and they get a sensation in their spirit or inside their flesh. And then that sensation is, oh, that must be God telling me it's okay. You see, it doesn't line with the word of God. God will not add or take away from his word. He is perfectly in line with his word. All right, so the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire. They kindled a fire. Here it is raining, pouring rain. Instead of being in their hut or tent or house, whatever, they came out in the pouring rain, because it was pouring rain. It was storming outside. And they're the shipwreck that Paul and all the crew members were on. And they made the fire for them. And because they were cold, the Mediterranean Sea is a very cold sea. It's not a warm sea, it's very cold. I've done a lot of scuba diving in the Mediterranean Sea, and it's very cold, very, very cold, icy cold. You need a wetsuit to dive in the Mediterranean. It looks pretty, but it's cold, all right? And they kindled a fire. So was the fire good or was the fire bad here? See, a lot of people think fire is bad. Oh, it destroys. Well, it destroyed the wood, but what did the fire do? It provided warmth for all the people, all the crew members of the ship. And actually for the barbarous people too. Barbarous people. Yeah. So the fire is good. So fire is good, and fire can also be bad. Bad being, it could destroy things. You know, but it can also help a lot. So in this case, it's helping. How about the case in Leviticus 6:10? The fire was good there because the offering was consumed by fire. It's consumed by fire. That means the offering was purified by the fire, and God can receive it. See, God can receive it. That's why we are purified by fire. That's why our works are tested and tried by fire, because God's not going to receive our works of hay, wood, and stubble. You can't lay that offering by the testimony. That's an offering. But you can truly lay gold, silver, and precious. You can truly lay gold, silver, and precious stones up by the testimony because they've been tried by fire. See? This ministry out here today, I'm going to take this up and wrap this whole ministry up when I'm done at 2 o'clock. I'll be done at 2 o'clock today because I have to get ready for church tonight. So when I leave here at 2 o'clock, 2:01, 2:05, I will pull all this together and pray and offer to give this as an offering, as a sacrifice to God. And that all this will be purified by fire, because this is all in that category of gold, silver, and precious stones. I don't know which one it is, but it's one of those. And I can lay this off by the testimony of Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what you want to do. You want to, when you're done your ministry, you give that as an offering, because you're in the fire of God when you're out on the street. When you're out on the street, You are in the fire of God. God is protecting you. God is keeping you pure. God is guiding, he's keeping things good for you, I guess you could say. And then you can truthfully and honestly with the Word of God backing your words up, say, and Lord, I give everything as an offering to you, as a burnt offering. And you can almost say that to God. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing how you can do that. So that's what we're doing out here, right? So listen to this, because that's good. That fire is good. The fire is not going to destroy your ministry. Fire is going to keep your ministry pure, all right? All right, so the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one. Even though there were prisoners aboard, and you could tell there are prisoners by how they're dressed or how they're marked, there was an indicator of some sort that let people know those are the crew, those are the prisoners. You know, I guess all the ships had prisoners. I don't know that. But Paul was a prisoner on board this ship. But it was specific. They received every one of us. They didn't exclude any of us. How many times do some high-minded people exclude people? We see that in the Bible. You know, when a poor man comes into a church and he wants to sit up front, the usher says, no, we don't allow poor people up front. You have to sit in the back. A rich man comes in, oh, come up here, sir, and sit in the front seat. We reserve the front for rich people. Now, they don't say that, obviously. I was an usher for a couple few years. I mean, we didn't never said that, nor did we do that. But that's what Jesus talked about. Yeah, who do they love? They love the people who sit in the high places so they can be proud and all that kind of garbage. But you see, the barbarous people, they liked every one of us. Everyone. You know? There are believers who don't like me. Not because they don't like me personally, but they don't like my ministry. They don't like the banner. They don't like me standing out here. They don't like me dressed like this. They don't like me. So are they better or worse than the barbarous people? And they're a believer in Christ. And what about that? I mean, that's something to think about. I mean, isn't it? Isn't it something to think about? How many people, we just talked about Nolan, Brother Nolan. I mean, how many people hate him? Yeah, you know, he knows that. I know that. We all know that because he's a street preacher. Been doing it for 15 years, I think. I think it's been 15, whatever. And 15, 16 years now. Serving the Lord faithfully. He's a diligent man of God, young man of God. And I praise God for Nolan. I love him a lot, man. He's a good brother in Christ. We've talked on the phone a couple few times. I love him. God bless Nolan. Lord, I ask your blessings upon Nolan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ over him. Protect him, Lord. Protect him, Lord. Protect him, Lord. Let him grow up mighty and strong and powerful as a minister of flaming fire. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So in Acts chapter 28, verse 2, it says again, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, and they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Because of the rain and because of the cold. But you get a believer who won't receive us. And it could be cold. How many times have I walked down the street in the snow and the high winds trying to fight the wind going home? And a believer will honk and wave as they're going by. But will they stop and help me, get me into the car and take me home? No. I bet of all the 4.5, 5 years of walking, probably hundreds of miles here in Boulder, I've only had two people have offered me a ride as I was walking out. Two people. But I've had hundreds of people honk and wave. Yeah. But only two were able to, hey, can I give you a ride, preacher, wherever you're going? Can you see what I'm saying here? So what is the fire going to do to that believer? That Christian, so-called Christian, who won't even help the preacher when they honks and waves when it's snowing out and I'm walking with my banner going home in the snow after preaching for two, three, four hours. They'll honk and they'll wave in their warm little car. I mean, that's happened many more times than I can possibly count. And I'll wave, smile, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, thank you for the ride. How come they don't stop and pick me up? Still got another mile to walk, you know? That's life, man. I mean, what is God going to do with that? Maybe God sent that person by me, says, don't go that way, go this way. And they honked in the way. Oh, good, I got a chance to see the preacher walking home in the snow. Oh, I'm supposed to stop, pick him up. Oh, I don't have time, God. I got to get to lunch. Oh, I got to get home for dinner. I got to do my laundry. My cat needs to be put out. I mean, who knows? Two people out of hundreds, hundreds, and hundreds who have honked and waved in the last 5 years. I don't know. But these barbarous people came out of their home in the cold, in the rain, with prisoners. They had prisoners on board the ship, and they made them a fire and showed them great kindness. How about that? You see, so that's an exhortation to look at how you're living your life. It really, how you live your life, and you go back to Proverbs chapter 13. Let me just say that again. So that was 13 verse whatever it was, 4. Let's read this one more time. We'll close this off with this one here. This is our what we started the sermon with. We'll end it here with this one too. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So can you see there? They're not talking about a believer or a non-believer. They're talking about any soul that's a sluggard and that's lazy. You're not going to have what you think you're going to have. Just like that person driving by. I don't know. I'm not talking about any one person. I mean, I have a whole plethora of people in my mind that I remember their car and how they honk. And I've even had Uber drivers, Lyft drivers go by me. They're not going anywhere or doing anything, but they're honking their way. You know, that's their job, to pick people up and take them places, but they won't pick me up. I had one Uber driver stop and says, I'm between rides. I'm going to give you a ride. Preacher, where do you want to go? You know, it's pretty cool. So, see, the sluggard. So a believer could be a sluggard. Yeah. And that believer is going, I desire this, Lord, and I'm going to have this, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want this. And God says, well, that's nice. You ought to get to work. Oh, I don't want to. Oh, work. Work. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Not for you, God. I'm saved. I don't have to work. I'm already saved. That's what they say. I'm already saved. I don't need to go to work. And it says here, the diligent, and the diligent, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The desires of the diligent who goes to work, those desires will come about in his life. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. A righteous man is not sluggard. A righteous man is a diligent soul. That's why their prayers avail much to them. Their prayers come back answered to them. Isn't that amazing? That to me is amazing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we have a choice. We can be a sluggard or we can be a diligent. We can be a soul of a sluggard or we can be a soul of a diligent person. Both are either believers or sinners. I don't know. I mean, there are all kinds of people who are both in both camps. So I ask you, Lord, that you help everyone who's listening to this sermon be a diligent person. And if they're not saved, help them get saved, Lord. Help them get saved. And if they need healing in their body, Lord, I pray healing in their body right now. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. We can lay hands on the sick. We can pray and preach by the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And that devil right there that's bothering you, I cast that devil out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus Christ where that devil was, and I pray the word of God, and I pray, Lord, that you bring other believers to speak the word of God in that person. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. All right, man, I'm going to put another hat on and kind of bundle up a little bit more, put some heavier gloves on, put this down, put it away, then I'll lift my banner for the next few hours or so, till at least 2 o'clock, and God bless you, man. I love you very much. All right? Take care. Bye.